Session, the House General Government Committee, and we have a series of work sessions on our agenda today, members of the committee. First one, I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2059. There are some amendments. Kara, do you want to take us through this?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2059, you'll recall, permits the Board of Medical Examiners to conduct nationwide criminal records checks on applicants and licensees. The one amendment before you, the dash one today, adds language instructing the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the Oregon State Police to destroy any record of the fingerprint provided by applicants, both for licensing and for renewal. This is language consistent with your work group that's working on the omnibus fingerprinting bill, and you'll see it in all three of the fingerprint bills that you review today.
Questions? Representative Galizio and Representative Cameron have been working in the work group. Is this...
There is a fiscal impact statement.
Yes.
It's the third thing in your packet this morning.
And is this referred to the floor, or to, is it...
This goes directly to the floor. There's not a subsequent referral.
Okay. I want to make sure of that. Okay. Questions from the committee?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I'd say I have a question just off of the amendment. If the FBI and state police are both required to destroy fingerprint cards, are the boards also required to destroy fingerprint cards? Do they keep a record?
Can I clarify?
Representative Cameron, please.
Clarify that. One of the things that we're trying to make sure in all these fingerprinting bills is that the state police, the fingerprint cards stop there. So you send them in to the state police. You don't get them back as an agency.
Okay. And how about the fingerprint mask?
By all means.
Fingerprints records of physicians that have already gone through the system. Do we still maintain those fingerprint cards currently? Or do you know what the status is?
This bill does nothing to address current fingerprints that are out there. This is for here forward.
I'm just concerned because, you know, with Dr. Bates being my senator, I'm just concerned what's happening with this fingerprint.
I can explain to you later what we know is happening out there. I can explain to you later.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Representative Escobar.
Yes, I am in the real estate industry, and we all have fingerprints before we're allowed to even take the exam or to be licensed in the state of Oregon. Those, as my understanding, go to the state police, and once they are verified that you are not a felon, then they are destroyed. The agency does not keep those.
Well, I guess that's what I was fishing for. The agency keeps past records, whether we want to discuss that.
Representative Cameron and Representative Galizio have been working on this as an omnibus. We basically, these three are sort of standalone, but they all relate to the omnibus fingerprinting piece. Because these are ready to go, we are going to start moving these today and finalize next week. I hope when we have all the amendments, the more omnibus that deals with a whole bunch of other agencies under one bill. These three, as you recall, came to us from the Health Committee. And rather than meld them into the bigger bill, we thought we would, with these amendments, let them stand alone and move through. All of these will look very much the same in terms of the process, and that is what we are trying to achieve. Representative Galizio, did you have a comment here?
I just want to raise a question just in terms of information that has been collected up to this point,
and
whether there's privacy protections, what the...
It's moving forward that we're concerned with in these bills.
Okay.
Past where those prints are now, I don't think have been addressed either by this committee in testimony or in these bills. Representative Cameron.
Madam Chair, Representative Buckley, yeah, one of the models that's out there is DHS. Today, DHS destroys fingerprint cards as they are sent back from the state police. They have two people that oversee them. That was one of the issues that came out in the work group. One of the big concerns in addressing all these fingerprinting issues is that there is a checkpoint where those cards are being destroyed. As you notice here, the state police are going to become that checkpoint. They're not even going to go back to DHS in the future. But they have been being destroyed. There were some other agencies that did some other things, and that's one of the things we're trying to do here is get a consistency. And you'll see in the omnibus bill that comes forward that there's a section in there that really states the rules of how the process will move forward. So,
I think your point is a good one, Representative Buckley, about, you know, but that's not what's addressed in this bill and in this series of bills. I think that there's an opportunity, if you want to speak to that other issue of what, you know, what has happened in the past and where those are, I think you're going to have to find another vehicle, because I think we're a little far down the road on this to go back now, because what we're trying to do is set a policy for the future here as to what we're going to do around this issue. And I'm not sure that I want to back this vehicle up at this point and start all over with what we're doing with fingerprints that we currently have in the system, you know, from 10 years ago when somebody was fingerprinting. And I think that's what you're speaking to. Where are those, and what are we doing with them? And I just don't think that that was the purpose of this group of things, to deal with that so much as it was to deal with what are we, how are we going to handle this systematically going forward. That is how I feel about it. So I would recommend or suggest that if there's, you know, some specific thing that needs to be done about those, that that be dealt with in a separate way rather than wrapping it into this.
Madam Chair, are we in our work session on 2059 that we're in? Specifically to 2059, Representative, is there the medical examiners today collect no fingerprints. So based on this bill we're looking at today, the answer would be they're not doing it now. So here's an example of when they go forward to do it, they're going to be doing it in a way that we've kind of oversight saw and have a system set up for it. So in specific reference to this bill, they aren't doing it today. Does that help too?
It does. Absolutely. Okay. I have not heard of any major concerns.
Well, and I appreciate your point. It's well taken, and a good one, but probably not what we're specifically dealing with in this series, going back and saying, you know, where are they, you know, and how are you disposing them? But I think it's a good question, and one that we could answer in some other venue. I'd be happy to look at. Do you have anything else? Any other questions?
Madam Chair, I move -1 amendments be included in House Bill 2059.
Representative Sumner moves the -1 amendments to House Bill 2059. Any objections? So ordered.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2059 as amended to the House with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Sumner moves House Bill 2059 with the as amended with the -1 amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any objection? So ordered. This being the first one out, I'm going to ask Representative Cameron to carry this, if you wouldn't mind, and close this work session on House Bill 2059. Open a work session on House Bill 2061. Kara?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. House Bill 2061 addresses fingerprinting for the Chiropractic Examiners Board. The amendments are a bit different with this measure simply because there were some changes within the bill. As we saw earlier, fingerprints, cards, and records are returned to the state. If they are returned to the state police, are destroyed. Requires the FBI to do the, or ask the FBI to do the same. The amendments also remove the dollar figure of the amount that may be collected from applicants for fingerprinting. This will be addressed in rules rather than in putting the dollar figure in statute. And another issue that came out in the the large work group on fingerprinting. It clarifies the definition of ancillary personnel to tighten that definition so that it's around people who are performing therapeutic treatments as opposed to being office staff or something like that.
Thank you, Kara. I think that this is why we worked these together, is so that there would be uniformity and conformity within this area, and that's, I believe, why, and I'm going to ask Representative Galizio or Cameron to speak to this one specifically if I'm wrong. It's similar to the last one, but had a different sort of set of issues to bring it into sort of a general conformity, and those are addressed in the Dash 1 amendments. Am I correct in that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have the copy of the bill. I'm sitting here looking for it, so I don't even have my copy. So,
well,
my recollection is really more clear on the omnibus, specifically to the chiropractic bill. I don't know if you
Madam Chair. First of all, I want to go back to Representative Buckley's concern. The medical examiners do collect fingerprints today,
right,
for state background checks.
Okay.
So that bill would now bring them under
the state police.
Well, it goes through the state police, but what it does is clarifies that those fingerprints will not be mailed back to that board of medical examiners. Okay. Same with this bill, is that the concern that was here with the amendments was that the bill was way too broad.
Mm-hmm.
Representative Galizio and I were in that work group. So, narrowed down the scope, but by... in the omnibus bill, by rule, they're going to have to narrow it down even further. So we narrowed the scope of who could be fingerprinted, who they would have the authority to fingerprint in this particular standalone bill.
Yeah, and if I could just add, I mean, you know, I don't know, it's so difficult to balance public safety and privacy concerns and, you know, abuse of power. So this is what we're trying to do. And, you know, we're looking for, number one, that it's justified. In other words, the people that are being checked are those folks that, in other words, there's adequate justification. It's not just a fishing expedition. Oh, let's fingerprint everybody. So that's one concern that we're trying to do. So agencies have to define sort of the population to the extent they can, and this is it's very difficult, quite frankly. And then also, somebody coming from out of state. In other words, the fingerprinting allows, you know, the medical examiners to access FBI, so that goes then out of state. Whereas in the status quo, it's difficult to
I'm
do that.
Very supportive of that.
Right. So we've been struggling, and we worked, you know, 20 some odd agencies trying to figure out a process that is workable, and it's not easy. So, but specifically with this, we were just trying to deal with those issues, and I think we've come to a pretty good compromise with the chiropractors here. So, and my back hurts too, so it's perfect.
It is perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Further questions or discussion?
Madam Chair, I move the Dash 2 amendments be included in House Bill 2061.
Representative Sumner moves the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 2061. Any objections? Ordered.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2061 be sent to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
As amended with the Dash
2? As amended with Dash 2 amendments.
I knew you meant that. Representative Sumner moves House Bill 2061 as amended with the Dash 2 amendments to the House floor with a do pass recommendation. Any objections? So ordered. Representative Galizio, you think your back's going to improve enough if you carry this bill?
Do you think
carrying this bill is going to improve your back?
Yeah, as long as it's not too heavy. I think it'll be fine.
Okay.
Either way, it works.
I'm going to ask you to carry this bill,
right,
Representative Galizio, if you wouldn't mind. And close the work session on House Bill 2061 and open a work session on House Bill 2102. This is the nurses. Kara, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, again, same issue, only as it applies to nurses. On your Dash 1 amendments, same language, instructing Federal Bureau of Investigation and the Oregon State Police to destroy any record of fingerprinting provided by applicants and for renewals, if requested. And also adds the title of, or adds to the bill the ability to collect fingerprints for those applying for certificates and, of course, those that already hold certificates, so certificate holders. That's simply, again, something that came out of the larger work group and clarifies exactly who was within the scope that the Board of Nurses may indeed ask for fingerprinting. Thank you.
Thank you. Further comments? Representative Cameron, you...
Yeah, this another... Thank you, Madam Chair. This is another one of the bills that kind of spurred us on to do the bigger bill. And in this particular case, there was some... I want to put it on the record. There was some discussion. The Board of Nursing currently, for example, does not collect any fingerprints for statewide or federal. But there's also DHS. There might be some nurses that do some work through programs that DHS requires background and fingerprinting checks. So you might be certified by the nursing board, have your license, work as a nurse, had not been fingerprinted, but then be required by DHS. So DHS and the nursing board have a verbal agreement, and they're currently trying to get something in writing that would allow them to share information within 6 months so they don't have to duplicate expense and put people through that twice. So that's something I wanted to make sure was on the record and that we would encourage them to get that written agreement. The other thing that I'm still learning as we're going along, I guess as it is today, I just got informed, if you do a state fingerprinting check, mm-hmm. those fingerprints don't necessarily get sent in to the FBI or to the state police. That's the LEDS program, and various agencies are authorized to do that on their own, so there's rules that they have to follow with those. We'll have to investigate that. As we do this, hopefully we're going to recommend that we do a work group during the interim on this whole issue. So this was another one of those bills that was standalone. They currently do not have the authority to do FBI background checks. They do not do any fingerprinting as it is today. The nurses board does. So I'll just bring us up to date on this bill.
I think you can see, members of the committee, why we're bringing these forward sort of separately, because they have, each one sort of has their own set of issues that we want to separately sort of and then try and work the omnibus as a whole. I think you see the method in my madness here of why it was hard to get them all under one bill and why we're sort of trying to get each of these sort of separate pieces that were already out there moving forward.
Madam Chair, could I ask for just a brief explanation on the fiscal analysis, just to make sure I'm reading it correctly?
Kara, you want to help with that?
Mm-hmm. As I can, I'd be happy to. I may have to ask for assistance from the nurses board.
That's fine.
Kara, my question is, under expenditures, there's a listing that says other funds, $565,500 for next biennium, and then down below it's special payment services and supplies. Does that mean there's a total expenditure of over $1 million, or is the total expenditure $565,000?
The total expenditure would be $565,000.
Thank you. That's fine.
Is that...
But they don't add up.
No.
They don't add up.
Well, I think I would read it, the special payments and service supplies combined comes to the 565. We see that. The other funds expenditure.
Representative Buckley, and I think it's important that what the language that we're trying to get at is that they can't make money on this, but they can charge for it.
All right.
Okay.
So it's a revenue neutral, basically.
That's how I just wanted to confirm. Thanks.
Yeah. Further questions, comments? Okay.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2102 be amended with a dash one amendment.
Representative Sumner moves the dash one amendments to House Bill 2102. Any objections? So ordered.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2102 to the House floor as amended with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Sumner moves House Bill 2102 as amended with a dash one amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any objections? So ordered. All right. Which of our fingerprinted guys, or Representative Cameron, why don't you take this one? Carry it. Okay. Unless someone else wants to jump up right now.
He can carry the big one.
Okay.
My wife is a nurse, so if anything, I would carry this one. And you,
okay.
Well, would I can? There's time. Representative Galizia, would you like to carry this?
Yeah. Actually, sure. I
would. Why don't we? We've changed it. Representative Galizia will carry this bill. After further discussion, I think it's very appropriate. I'd forgotten that your wife is a nurse, and I think that that's very appropriate that you carry it. Thank you, Representative Galizia.
I'll be interested in something that I have to talk about that happens in the Capitol.
Dinner time conversation. I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2102 and open a work session on House Bill 2911. Kara, remember this one.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, this bill is not about fingerprints.
Yay, we finally have one.
But 2911 also had a work group, and Representatives Esquivel and Buckley were part of that work group, as were members of the audience today. 2911, you will recall, it dealt with increasing the threshold amounts that local governments may spend, may spend and receive to qualify for either annual in lieu or review statements from the Secretary of State as opposed to a full audit. I'd be happy to go through more of the background of the bill if you need that memory push, but otherwise I'll move directly to the amendments.
Please.
The primary change in the amendments is that it removes the reference to expenses, so it only considers receipts in determining if a municipal corporation qualifies for in-lieu review or audit.
It should be the other way.
It's the other way around.
You knew that. You knew that.
I'm sorry.
This isn't right.
I'm blaming it on spring fever and hay fever. It removes the reference to receipts. So it considers expenditures. Never mind. I'm sorry. I'm glad that you're here. Thank you. You did receive, Jania just handed out comments from Perry Ankerson, who was a member of the work group that you may wish to look at. There are no fiscal or revenue impacts of this measure because it deals directly with local governments.
Kara, I'd like to enter these comments from the CPAs into the record of the, they've all been put before you into the record of this here of this bill.
Mr. Ankerson is present.
I don't know that he wants. You would. Why don't we ask him to come forward and speak to us on his comments?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Perry Ankerson, Oregon Society of CPAs. Thank you very much for entertaining this. After the work group got together and we came up with the dash one amendments to the bill, Phil Hopkins at the Secretary of State's office did an analysis as to how the provisions in the dash one markup would have affected the 2003 fiscal year for Oregon governments. And I don't know whether you've gotten that, Kara, or not. I've only got a couple copies, but I'm certainly happy to deal with that. And then we wanted to have an opportunity to simply do a little bit of analysis, which you see in front of you. A couple of salient points as we worked in the work group. We took care of a really confusing provision that's in the existing law, which was basically adding revenues and expenditures together to get a threshold. And that made no sense to anybody, and hasn't for years. So basically we took that out as a suggestion in the dash one, and took out revenues, and then we're left only with expenditures. And then absent anything else, that doubles the threshold for which you'll have a review or an audit. Okay, that doubles the level, because if you were just to leave the dollar values in there. And then additionally, in the original bill, there was going to be a modest increase in the floors, but the original bill didn't take into consideration that we're essentially going to cut, you know, double the threshold, essentially, by that language. So we left that in the work group, and just so you will know, as marked up in the dash one bill, the floor for requiring a review went up 333%, and the floor for requiring an audit went up 240%. That's pretty extensive. Keep in mind the base was set in 1977, and none of us has any perspective whatsoever as to what magic was there in 1977 as to those numbers.
I'm sure I was a baby in 1977 and don't recall.
I'd like to say I was, but you know, we're close. So that's what's there. I gave you some bullet points down here as a couple of the effects that the dash one bill would have in terms of the number of audits and reviews and that sort of thing. The detail is available, and we can certainly get it to all of you. We do have a recommendation on the bottom for this particular bill. We think it's a pretty decent bill, but the 333% just seems, you know, and there's no empirical issue here, but just seems way too high. So if we were to take, say, 240% increase in the base, what that would work out to is my recommendation on the bottom, $180,000 of expenditures as the floor for having a review. Below that, you just have to file forms, and $600,000 for audits. Below that, between those two numbers, basically you have to have a review. Over $600,000 will be an audit. And I think the Special District Association and our group agrees that probably, you know, some modification of the accountability levels may need to be made, but none of us, I think, has any, and I don't want to speak for special districts, but none of us has any idea what the magic number is there. Where, at what level should small districts be financially accountable? And I think that's more in your realm as the legislators here to figure out what that number is. I also put a couple things in my thing as to what general cost for a low-level review and a low-level audit, probably $1,000 for a review, probably $1,500 for an audit at that lowest level. It does go up as you get bigger. What that costs as a percentage of expenditures, and it's pretty modest. So simply throw those things in for your consideration. We would certainly like you to consider adjusting the dollar values from the $250,000 for review down to, say, about $180,000. Any questions or anything on that?
I don't see any. Yes, Representative Espinosa.
Two questions. One is that when we were in the work group, you were going to call Jerry Burns.
Yes. Yeah, we did.
What did Jerry say?
It's his Jerry, bill. Pardon me?
It's his bill.
He indicated that, yes. He was most concerned because of a special cemetery district that he was working with that decided to do something big one year, and they got kicked into an audit situation. I'm sure you've heard the story. And I said, you know, our view as a general rule is that when you do something special, that's about the time you should be audited as opposed to the time you should be exempted from being audited. And I also explained to him the original wording in the bill that required the Secretary of State to grant an exemption anytime anything was special was very difficult, would really require administrative rules being issued, and all of us sort of had a vague dislike of that whole process, and that's where it was going. And I think the end of our conversation said, well, you know, I think if we got to a point that we had some relief for some of these smaller districts, i.e. raising the levels, that would be okay. And then the one other area that's still in the bill, which is if you want an extension of the time to file, it doesn't have to go through an accountant. It can go through municipal corporations. That was just an annoyance to him, and I agree. It's kind of silly, and it's something that should definitely be in the bill. If you're going to dink around with this at all, definitely that ought to be in there. So that was the substance of about a 35-minute conversation with Jerry.
Okay, now my next question is did on this level, this threshold that we've established here,
uh-huh.
And I'm looking, we probably won't even look at this for another 30 years.
I wonder where we'll be at that point. It's hard to say.
I'm pretty sure I will be. But
I know where I'll be. I'll be out at this
point. I don't know about you young guys.
But anyway, so you and Jerry concurred of $180,000 threshold?
No, we didn't. Okay. No, he thought it should be higher. But I said, look, Jerry, I'm not sure we were totally communicating. I said, look, well, just taking out,
which means
just taking out the revenue part doubles
what you're telling me.
Yeah, I mean, he was happy with 250 from a 150 base.
Yeah.
He basically got 300.
Exactly.
Yeah. So okay. To be real honest with you, no, we didn't agree on that, but I think we were having a miscommunication.
You were talking but not communicating?
I believe so. I tried a couple ways, and we didn't seem to hit it off. So I'm being just brutally honest with you about that conversation.
Further questions? Representative Cameron or anyone else? Well,
move it?
Yeah. Okay. Representative Esquivel?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I'd like to go ahead and move this bill out with adopt amendment, the number one amendment to it, with the bill adopted to 2911, please.
Are you moving the dash one amendment?
Yes, ma'am.
Representative Esquivel moves the dash one amendment to House Bill 2911. Any objections? So ordered. Representative Esquivel?
Madam Chair, I move that we move House Bill 2911 as amended to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Esquivel moves House Bill 2911 as amended with the dash one amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any objection? So ordered. Representative Esquivel, this is your bill. We heard it in Medford. I will ask you to carry it. And I appreciate it. And I, while we're discussing this bill, I want to pointedly again thank the CPAs for the good work they do. As a member of the Revenue Committee, I know how helpful you always are to us. And again, in this working on this bill, you're always willing to be helpful and make the legislative process much better thereby. So thank you very much for your work here. And with that, I will close the work session as House Bill 2911. Is there nothing more for the good of the order? I'm going to adjourn this House General Government Committee meeting this morning. Thank you all.